Episode 259 of the Star Wars Report podcast is brought to you by Geek Fuel. They ship out a mystery box for geeks, gamers, and Star Wars fans each and every month. Make sure you check out your free bonus. That's right, free bonus Star Wars item when you go to geekfuel.com/Star Wars Report and Entertain Art, official licensed and ready to hang wall art from Disney, Star Wars, DC, and so many more. Get 20% off when you use discount code SWR by going to StarWarsReport.com/art. That's StarWarsReport.com/art. Coming up on the Star Wars Report podcast, the secrets of the once forgotten Darth Maul game. Forgotten Maul. We're talking. Tatooine is sparsely populated, Master! The one Maul quote I can come up with that fast. All right, point for the most awkward intro ever. Hey, guys. It's the Star Wars Report podcast. You've tuned into the right one. It's a pure, unadulterated Star Wars podcasting fun. The most fun of Star Wars podcasting. At least, we try to make it so. We're trying. We're out here. Hey, Echo 3 to Echo 7, Hano buddy, you having fun? That's what we're here to ask you as you tune into the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm your host, Riley Blanton, and I'm very excited for tonight's program. We've got a jam-packed discussion that we're going to have on what we're all already talking about as Star Wars fans. We're in the midst of the aftermath of Rogue One, still new stories coming out about that. And then all kinds of really cool kind of intro stories, especially this Darth Maul game. We've never really talked about it on the show, but there's some fascinating stuff going on that I think points to possible futures. That's the key when it comes to Star Wars gaming and much more. So let's not waste any time. I want to bring into the program my good friend and yours. It's the one and only Mark Herleman.
At least now we can reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At least now we can have our revenge.
Is that at least, right? I don't think that's the quote. I think he's not at least. He was not hesitant at all. No, he was very matter-of-factual. You're the hesitant Darth Maul. You're like,
yeah,
well,
that's,
you know,
right. I'm half the Maul.
Perhaps, you know, Tatooine is, you know, perhaps slightly sparsely populated, Master.
What's funny though is like I give you 2 points because you could think of a Darth Maul line from the game. I'm like, oh man. Like when I think about game quotes, I always get stuck with Kenobi.
Well, that wasn't
I'm not sure.
What game was that? That Obi-Wan game?
That's just Obi-Wan. And man, my son was the first one to play it. And I just remember hearing that phrase coming out of the bedroom for hours at a time. I'm not sure. And then I played it and I'm like, oh my God, that's all he does. Everything. He's not sure. Get Qui-Gon.
Well, you know what? He's sure. He's our producer and an awesome human being is Mr. Bruce Gibson.
Hey, Riley. Hey, Mark. I'm just not sure.
I'm just not sure. Do you have any idea what Mark's talking about here, Bruce? Be honest.
I'm not sure.
Touche.
Who says I was listening to Mark anyway?
True. It's my time to find Zen. Mark's talking.
Is that? We're sure of that.
Wait, what are you drinking, Riley? That looks good.
It is Friday night, right? I like to, as they say in the parlance of the young people, I like to turn up. I heard this. I kid you not, folks. I heard this word used in conversation earlier today. Of course, everybody here in Atlanta is really excited about the Falcons being in the playoffs and maybe even making it to the Super Bowl. I heard the phrase crunk. So I'm just using it. I'm getting crunk with some pink lemonade, folks, ladies and gentlemen. Because Riley knows
you're drinking the hard stuff.
Partay. Woo!
You guys Friday night, baby. Yeah, get out that pink lemonade.
Let me tell you, if I say anything I regret, you know it's the fault of the pink stuff.
It's right. Our own version of blue milk.
By the way, I have actually had a blue milk mixed drink once. It was
It was. How do you make blue milk though? It was, how do you get the blue into it?
I don't. Probably just food.
Was any milk actually involved? I think that's what gets me scared.
Nope. I don't
hard
think so.
Alcohol and milk.
I don't. Yeah. No. I. Well,
Kahlua maybe.
I didn't. I probably. You know. I probably should have questioned it more than I did at the time. But. You know what? Those are stories that I'll leave buried at New York Comic Con. That's what I'm gonna do.
You know what? Somebody should have been questioning Unkar Plunk when he went up against Chewbacca. Did you guys see that?
I just saw this. Oh, man. You know, I don't know. I think it's in a rundown. I'm not sure.
It is. So let's get right to it.
I'm not
sure. Jump on that.
All right. So let's make it official. Let's jump into the news.
We have something to report.
Composer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's jump straight to it. You've seen it on your Facebook feed sometime this week. I'm sure. And that is this new this deleted scene from Rogue One. I'd heard about this scene in behind the scenes interviews. Not Rogue One. The Force Awakens. We're revisiting The Force Awakens. I'm stuck in Rogue One.
That was
one,
so
guys.
Last year.
The scene's still in the book, actually.
It is in the book, and we now get to see a mostly finished version of this scene at Maz Kanata's castle. We can't call it a cantina, can we? Was it a cantina? A bar? Restaurant?
Well, maybe there was a level that they called the cantina. You know, 10 forward on the Enterprise, you know?
Maybe the chest with Luke's lightsaber, that was the cantina.
That's the no-no zone. You don't go to the no-no zone. bad things happen in the no-no
so
zone.
So we see the sequence. So I'm sure you've seen it, but if you haven't, it's basically... at some point during Maz's castle sequence, Rey is like walking along, doop 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 doop. Hello, I'm looking for my family. And as she's walking along, boom, the camera pans and boom, right in your face. It's Unkar Plunk, your face. something none of us want to happen to us, by the way. And he's like, hey, that's mine. For a second I thought, hey. We don't serve their kind here, but that's the other movie. He confronts her and she's like, she starts to pull out a blaster. He throws it out of her hands. He threatens her. And then suddenly, boom, out of nowhere, Chewbacca literally rips his arms off, like very quickly, graphically and on screen, and tosses them on a table.
Now, was it both arms or one? Because I think I only saw one.
You only see one, but he rips both of them off.
Yeah, there's one on the table. Was it the right or left is the question? No. So
I think the right one was on the table, but where'd the left one go?
Well,
it fell off. That's
I bet
problem.
It fell into someone's pink lemonade.
Cilantro. No. it was it's fascinating because we didn't. It's something that I would have expected to be on the Blu-ray, but I can understand why it wasn't. Because, and let me ask you this, Mark, I don't think that was on the Blu-ray because it's inconsistent with the character of Chewbacca. Because I always thought of, you're known to pull people's arms off. I always thought of that as like maybe a Wookiee bounty hunter that, you know, 10 years ago got in a fight, pulled someone's arm off. And then gave that reputation to all Wookiees, but Chewbacca's really a sweetheart. So, like, Chewbacca just now uses the reputation of all Wookiees, but he's really a sweetheart at heart and would never do it. That's my opinion. What do you think, Mark?
That could go in that direction. That becomes a Han shoots first for Chewie there. Does Chewie rip off arms or doesn't he? I there is the precedence though, because there is that the Wookiee bounty hunter Karskachan, I think is how you say his name, that's working with Dr. Aphra. And he's been known to rip off an armor too.
Okay, I've not read that comic. Okay. So it is, I mean, it's consistent to be there. I don't know. Breeze, let me get...
It's not the first.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's not the first time we've seen Chewbacca rip off arms, because on the Lego Star Wars game, he does it.
He does it all the time.
True. To stormtroopers and stuff. And Kevin Wrights on the chat says it is one arm.
Oh, it is one arm?
He anchors him by stepping on his foot and rips the one arm off.
Okay, I see it. Yeah. I don't know. It was... And also, yes, crunk is a very 90s term. It's just making a comeback, Kevin, all right?
And also, in Legends, there was a running gag between Chewie and Bosk that Chewie ripped off Bosk's arms quite a bit. Like, I think one of the stories, he had just grown like the arm back and Chewie ripped it off again.
But he's like a lizard, so he grows it back. You know, here's the other reason they deleted it. And you know what? Frankly, upon repeated viewings, Rogue One could have stood to do this a little bit more, too. It was a turn-to-camera moment, right? It was a, get it? Remember in the other one movie where he said he ripped arms off? Here, guess what? He ripped the dude's arm off. Get it? It's like, yeah, it's kind of on your nose, and it's like a turn to camera. Ooh, it's a reference to that other movie we like. And honestly, as much crap as people give The Force Awakens for being way too much like A New Hope, as far as like those brief moments, the blue milk, the you just watch yourself, and those like that, there was far more of that. The surprise R2 and 3PO, woo! Like that was a lot more, frankly, in Rogue One than it was in The Force Awakens. I don't know. Email us.
What was funny too is The Force Awakens had that scene with the TIE fighters in the sunset, and it made me think about, you know, we had Rogue One that had all these little clips and stuff that were only in the trailer; they were never in the films. And yet we had that where it was put into the film for The Force Awakens, and yet continuity-wise, it makes no sense because it's a sunset in the middle of the night or the middle of the day when we don't have the sun setting. It's like we go right back to the sun's out, and we're like, oh, everything's fine and good.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I definitely see why they deleted it, but it was, man, it's cool to see, and it's all over Facebook. I don't know why some of these videos just take off in a very certain and specific way. But I liked it. I liked seeing that. We do have a couple tidbits on Rogue One that I want to get to, but I want to take a brief time out to thank our sponsor for today, and that's Geek Fuel. Now, Geek Fuel ships out a mystery box every month for geeks, gamers, and Star Wars fans. They guarantee $50 of value with every box, just for $15 plus shipping and handling. Every box has an exclusive T-shirt, 5 to 7 unique geeky items. And when you go to geekfuel.com/Star Wars Report, they're giving you a free bonus Star Wars item when you sign up. Make sure you check them out. They're awesome. Geekfuel.com/Star Wars Report. Geekfuel.com/Star Wars Report.
This is the Star Wars Report podcast. That's two you owe me, Junior.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, that is two we owe you, because happening twice weekly right now, it's the Star Wars Report podcast. This is the Monday edition, but we've got a very exciting episode coming up this Thursday, and we're going to tell you all about it. Stephen Stanton's coming on the program this Thursday. I'm very excited. He's going to be making his grand return. Awesome dude. Of course, the voice of Tarkin in Rebels and in Star Wars Clone Wars and so much more. He's been really involved in the fan community for the longest time, with some really cool charity stuff that he's tied in with the 501st and more. So we're going to be talking about all of that this Thursday on the Star Wars Report podcast. Make sure if you're not subscribed on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice, do so. Make sure you don't miss a single episode, because we're releasing, that's right, every Monday and Thursday. Very exciting times indeed. But let's get into the proper Rogue One stuff. So Rogue One is about to break... let me look.
$1 billion.
Mark, you beat me to the punch, because I was about to say $1 billion. All right, for the Facebook people, Mark and I are the pinky to the corner of the mouth.
You can't not do it.
This is why you should be watching on Facebook. Because we're crazy. This is straight from a piece in Jedi News. It's set to break through the $1 billion world mark worldwide. Now, I think, Bruce, I think it's happened. I think as of the recording, certainly by the time you hear this podcast, I'm pretty sure it will have happened by the time this releases Monday.
It probably will, because I'm looking to add to that amount this weekend.
Me too.
Well, yeah. I'll ask you guys all about it, because I am curious on the repeated viewings. This makes it, by the way, the third Star Wars film to ever do this. And it's only the 28th film overall, sitting in 28th place. It's amassed $504 million in the States.
All right. What were the other two Star Wars films? I gotta know.
The 20th. You know, it doesn't say. I know one was the Phantom Menace. Because I know the Phantom Menace.
See, and I'm almost thinking it's Phantom Menace and Revenge of the Sith. Weird to think because I'm like, really, not even one OT? But I guess, you know, movies weren't making that kind of money back then, you know?
No, and
what
and
about The Force Awakens? Wouldn't it be that?
I think that, it would have
that
to be.
That was my other
it
thought.
It has to be the fact. I know it was the Phantom Menace, so it has to be. It has to be the Phantom Menace and The Force Awakens. All right, here we go. Star Wars movies at to the Google. I'm pulling up box
to the Google.
Box office mode. Yep, that's right.
You know, they need to make a droid named Google in Star Wars now.
Holy cow. The total box office, and I'm actually going to get the up to date on Rogue One as well. So it's number two behind The Force Awakens and in front of The Phantom Menace. Now, bam. Also, by the way, that's also the case in terms of domestic box office. Domestic box office for Rogue One has now outstripped The Phantom Menace, which was 431. This is 505. Nowhere near the $936 million domestic that The Force Awakens have. Although to be fair, it was almost the exact same. It was in more theaters. Interesting. So The Phantom Menace has made almost as much money as Rogue One, and it was in 1,000 less theaters. So like the per theater average probably. Guys, welcome to Nerd Box Office Talk with the Star Wars.
That just shows that Jar Jar should be in every movie.
I'm telling you, man. I've been saying it for years. Misa starting pretty okie day with a brisky morning munchie. Why, that sounds really weird when you just say it straight. Someone needs
What's
to...
What's funny is my boss, not my boss, actually, the owner of our franchise was talking to me about Rogue One yesterday. I was like, wow. He's like, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I didn't care so much for the ending, which honestly, I get that a lot. Like, I'm surprised
too.
How many people
I
weren't expecting it.
Yeah, no, I do too. It's, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, they die. They all die. So you're planning to see it this weekend, Bruce?
Yeah, I would like to because I haven't seen it since
we
saw
it
with you like weeks ago.
I know, we needed a reunion. Well, all right, all right, ladies and gentlemen, apologies for the blatant self-indulgence that is about to take place in the next 60 seconds. So, Bruce, I work tomorrow, get off at noon, and I got the whole rest of Saturday open after the Hothlanta luncheon. Do you want to go see it after that?
It all depends on the time, because then I think I'm meeting up with my parents for dinner before my dad's birthday.
Oh.
As long as I can get back in time for that.
Boo! Boo!
I know.
Watch Star Wars! No.
I know.
Take your dad again.
Maybe we should just get everybody at Hothlanta to go see it like right after lunch.
Maybe I should get my dad to go to the Hothlanta lunch and then go to the movie with us.
Yes.
There you go. Induct him in.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes local Star Wars Atlanta fan planning with the Star Wars Report podcast.
See, but
Sunday,
hoping...
Sunday works better for me.
Okay, gotcha. Well, nice. I'll have my people talk to your people. Wait, we are our people. All right, anyway, you're seeing it, Mark?
Yeah, I just got my new pass at the theater. I can take two people with me, so I'm going to take both my kids, and we're going to go and take the digital recorder and try to do a commentary track while we're there.
I'm sure nothing will go wrong.
The last few nights,
you'll be
the
fine.
Last theater showing has been completely empty, so I'm like, odds are in my favor.
Okay. Well, wrong franchise, all right? We'll be careful with the hunger, all right? We like that. No, I'm kidding. I guess I'm planning to see it tomorrow or Sunday. After I start watching La La Land again, which is my new obsession, but we won't talk about that. Gareth Edwards was in Rogue One.
Yes.
Yeah. What? He wasn't the guy I thought he was going
to
be.
Was he?
I thought he was going to be the guy that yelled, that was just like, that guy sticks with me, man.
Launch! We've all been that guy, right?
Oh my God. Get it going.
You know, can that be a new... There are a lot less kind of memes and famous quotes out of... There's no tell that to Kanja Club in Rogue One. But man, I want that to be a meme. The launch guy, right? Every time we go on a trip... Every time I close the car door, like if I'm nice and gentlemanly and I open and close the car door for someone, or like the door at the store, I'm just right as I close it, I'm going to be like, launch!
I want to do that at Star Tours the next time I ride.
Yes! Like, no one will get it because it's not like, unfortunately, I wish it was a meme. We're making it a meme officially, guys.
That's great.
But
Chewie, that's what he's saying to Han every time they're about to lift off, too.
Bruce, who was who did Gareth Edwards play?
He was the guy that he was one of the rebels that did the lever on the Tantive IV when they were like, you know, they showed the hall and he goes over and pulls down the lever. That
he's
was
literally the
him.
Rebel who launches it.
Yes.
Oh, nice. Yeah, nice. I love that sequence so much. It's the best thing ever. Yeah, and I like this idea of getting cameos. I know Rian Johnson had one, but I totally blanked on what it was. And I know Gareth Edwards had a cameo in episode 8. I may be talking out of school and confusing like who had the cameo in which film, but that's what I remember. If I'm remembering correctly, they showed that at Celebration Europe. In the Rogue One in the introductory panel, but I may be totally misremembering it. Email us starwarsreport@gmail.com. And then okay, so finally, on one additional note on Rogue One, and that is the comic, which has yet to be released, as I understand.
Yep. Yeah.
It will. It'll actually. It'll have some extra scenes. Mark, tell me about this. You're the comics guy. What can we expect from the Rogue One?
Luckily, both the actual book and the comic have had the opportunity to really flesh out a lot of the character moments. The book especially really gets some moments with Chirrut, where you get some in the head stuff. So the comic's going to be doing the same thing. Jody Houser is the writer of it.
Okay.
So it's going to be really cool. It's going to be coming across different forms of media too. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I'm not exactly sure as a comic, unless they're planning on just, you know, considering the book and the comic, the different forms of the media. But
yeah,
that kind of gives you the sense that like maybe the comics and the books are working a little more together or having a little more, you know, dialogue back and forth now.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense along with the other kind of content they've done. I mean, that can you imagine if they did a comic version of the alternate ending? That would sell like hotcakes, man.
Well, and you could easily do that in the realm of comics because, you know, Star Wars comics had the Infinities and stuff, which that was the premise.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. No, I would love to see that. I would love to see that.
Well, and Marvel does What Ifs. I mean, they really should think about doing a What If Star Wars line. That would make some killer revenue.
Yeah, and that reminds me of the early draft of A New Hope. We got that in comic form eventually. A totally different script early on in A New Hope. So, why not do something
Our
like
third
that.
Continuity, technically, Bruce.
That is true. Oh, my gosh. We have canon, legends, and...
blah, 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 blah. The Star Wars.
Hey, remember when we had
the universe?
Remember when we had remember when we had multiple levels of canon once upon a time? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the T and the G
and tears to go with. Oh God, it was so confusing. I'm so glad we've moved away from that in a degree.
you know what, gentlemen, I'm doing right now. I'm actually doing something that's kind of dangerous when you podcast, and that is podcast and tweet at the same time, because the problem is that I have to tag both of you, Admiral_Rex and IllogicalRogue2, and then of course a generous number of exclamation points and a link to our Facebook Live video, just because I want to get the word out and just say, if you're not, I usually mention at the end of the show, but make sure you're following us on Twitter at Star Wars Report, at The Riley Guy, at IllogicalRogue2, and at Admiral_Rex. We put those links in the show notes, but it's a great way to kind of keep up with us, what we're doing, and when the show goes live, because that time tends to vary on Fridays. All right. So we have kind of an update on Woody Harrelson's role in the Han Solo movie.
Kind of an update. Not a big update, a kind of one.
A kind of an update. Should we put this in a spoiler section? I'm debating. You know what? Let's stay safe. Let's stay safe, folks. We're going to do... you're fine. We probably already had like a bunch of people jump out. If you're still here, we're going to talk about... It's not really spoilery at all, but I just like to stay safe. We'll talk about Woody Harrelson right post-credits right after the Jabba Flow dance music. And what we will talk about right now... is a another look at something that I kept seeing come across the proverbial desk, but I think actually points to a future possibility. And that is this Darth Maul game. And I'll tell you guys all about it right after I thank our other sponsor for today, of course, Entertain Art, official, licensed, and ready to hang wall art for your home. It's awesome. And they have a huge selection of Star Wars stuff. Make sure that you check them out. It's run by a passionate team of awesome folks. We've been working with them for quite some time. And they provide high-quality canvas, both metallic and regular embellished products. More than 1,000 designs available at StarWarsReport.com/art. That takes you straight to the Entertain Art webpage. You can check them out there. And they're giving Star Wars Report listeners 20% off. That's right, 20% off your purchase when you enter code SWR20. Seriously, guys, check them out. It's entertainart.com. And, of course, make just sure you go through the link, StarWarsReport.com/art, and check out their incredible selection of Rogue One artwork and, of course, The Force Awakens and so much more. StarWarsReport.com/art. StarWarsReport.com/art.
You're listening to the Star Wars Report. 7, 8, 9. Drop the mic and walk away.
It's happening, folks. And now I'm kind of feeling more like we're ready. I'm feeling more and more like we're actually ready for the era of the next saga film, Episode 8, coming to theaters. All right, mm-hmm. let's talk about this, folks. Tatooine is sparse. Star Wars video games are sparsely populated, Master. Actually, you know what? Here's a better thing. LucasArts is sparsely populated, Master.
Oh!
All right, that was a low blow. It's still too soon. I talked to guys after that. That was a dark day. But look at what might have been. There's this incredible story about this Darth Maul game from Kotaku that goes through some really cool artwork. We won't break it all down. I have a thought, guys. And that's about Star Wars Rebels, which I'm behind on. I hate it. I don't like it. I'm like 3 episodes behind now.
Well, you'll like it more once you're caught up.
Yeah.
Or did you just hate being behind?
I don't know. It's both. Yes. All. Yes.
So wait,
all
you hate it. Star Wars? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes. That, all right.
You get dangerously close, man.
Guilty.
Yeah.
Guilty. Yeah. No, we have another look at this. That canceled Darth Maul game. Some incredible artwork that was featured on Kotaku. It's not the first time we've seen it. Of course, they showed some pictures a while back. But one of the artists just dumped a whole load of previously unseen images. I wonder, is this even legal for them to... probably not. But man, there's all kinds of really cool artwork showing concepts of Maul, of different bounty hunters, of a Sith witch, of like a Savage Opress looking dude of there's all kinds of, we'll link to it in the show notes, of a freaking purple lightsaber lady that kind of looks like a Maris Brood / what's his face from the Legacy comics mashup.
There are so many angles there at play. You're picking up on that. Did you catch though the Darth Talon looking chick? Like there's a scene with Maul and her,
yep,
and
I'm Rodian,
and they break it down where the droid kind of analyzes everybody and then they shoot at each other. But that straight up looks like Darth Talon. It looks like they were planning on bringing that type of character over into the game again. And then there's also aspects like there's the one guy that they call the Sith Emperor, which you almost like, okay, is that supposed to be Palpatine? But he's got like a Vong-esque shoulder armor, you know, like
all kinds of stuff, like, man. Yeah, I'm
there's
looking
a lot
at it.
Of that. It's like, were they trying to do that on purpose? Are those supposed to be elements of Legends things that they were trying to bring in? Because this is set more towards the New Jedi Order era in the canon. I mean, that's where it would have been set. Maul's got the robotic legs.
Here's what this tells us. We've known for a long time. In fact, frankly, what Star Wars Rebels, I think, has just categorically proved is that the characters and heart and theme of that show was so indelible in Star Wars fandom. And this, if I say this to someone who didn't really watch the Clone Wars, they're like, yeah, whatever. It's that cartoon that was on, but then new movies happened and I forgot about it. No. what the Clone Wars did is establish such an incredible subculture within fandom. The big fans of Captain Rex, the entire Ahsoka Her Universe fangirl movement, the idea of the return of the Mandalorians and redefining them, as controversial as it was at the time, but the idea of seeing them on screen, seeing a bunch of freaking Mandalorians rolling around with jetpacks and blasters, man, we hadn't seen that in anything but video games and books. And just to have this sort of next level of just cultural impact made a difference. And the unfortunate thing I think it points to is that some of the core characters in Star Wars Rebels are lacking in some ways, and in terms of their ability to impact the mythology overall and have an impact on the central Skywalker story. Now, that may not be a weakness to you. Like, if you don't care about that, that's not a weakness to you. But man, like, it was a big deal to me. And I'm going to finish my point after I toss it to Mark and run like the 9 Carillion Hells to go get my battery charger because I forgot to plug my laptop in. I'll be right back.
Oh, no. That's fun. I know, because I was going to ask him, I'm like, which character? I'm clearly he's talking about Hera and most likely Sabine. But I think Hera is the one that really gets the biggest shaft overall. My daughter really loves Hera, but finding Hera figures has become impossible. You know, Hera is a character that is the leader of her cell, in a sense, leader of Phoenix Squadron, leader of Chopper Base, a leader of so much, and yet she's always taking the back burner. I mean, at least that's the direction I'm thinking you're going with this, Riley.
I agree, he said, having just put on his headphones. Mark just made a great point, I'm sure. I just missed it.
Well, I'm mostly curious about which characters you're referring to. I'm thinking Sabine and Hera, and of course, you know, I'm thinking Hera is the harder one of the two because it feels like, although you're behind right now, Sabine's about to really
take a shift forward. And now I know Sabine has a storyline. That's what gives me new confidence with the series is what they're doing with Sabine. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, it's Ezra. It's like, yeah, it's all Ezra. I'm not even
really. I was not expecting that.
I mean. Okay. He has grown this season, and I think there's more to come. But you know what's making him transform and become an interesting character? It's entirely contingent and leaning upon the idea of bringing Maul in. And so what I'm saying is that the inclusion of Captain Rex, of Ahsoka, of Maul, these are the most compelling, impactful parts of Star Wars Rebels. So, again, just in my less than esteemed position. So that's just my thoughts on the matter, but I will say this. I think what this game shows is there's a certain level of faith in Maul as a character before the sale, and the fact that Maul has been such a central part of Star Wars Rebels at the end of last season and now coming into this season, I think that this foundation here is very... I won't say it's definitely going to happen, but I really think there's some real potential for something I would have never dreamed of in the months... You know, after the Disney purchase, or like where they're like, kill Detours, kill Legends, kill LucasArts, kill the games, kill it all, kill it with fire. Now, it felt like this really big mass destruction, but I don't know. I really do have faith that that Darth Maul, the character of the prequel era, has a really impactful story in Star Wars Rebels and beyond in a game or even. Dare I say, spin-off Obi-Wan film, please happen.
The thing I find interesting about this, Riley, is it would have been set after Return of the Jedi, and the bad guys we see below in the images are part of a new empire, very similar to the First Order that we now have in the post-Disney universe. But it makes me think about the fact that maybe that's part of why it is canceled. Maybe he's not supposed to really go much farther past Rebels. Maybe 5, maybe 10 years, but certainly not so far as past Return of the Jedi. And that could be why it was scrapped in that alone.
Yeah, maybe. Your thoughts, Bruce?
Wow, I mean, there was just a whole lot there when you were like bashing Rebels. I was like, what does this have to do with Darth Maul?
Hang on, hang on. I love Rebels. But
this game could be retooled and put in the Rebels era easy enough, though.
Well, and what's interesting to me about the game is this was in process of development or in the concept phase pre-2013 before Disney bought Lucasfilm. So yeah. If they're putting Maul in a game that takes place after Revenge of the Sith, they were still making Clone Wars. They were giving away the fact that Darth Maul is going to live through the Clone Wars series and beyond the original trilogy and keep going. So I think it's like really odd that they would have revealed that during that period of time. Or maybe they're going to wait till after Clone Wars ended to come out with this game.
I think so. I
want to touch on something real quick here. In one of the pictures, there's one of the stormtrooper and the various phases of the armor and stuff. And there's a picture of the boot lifted up and it says boot sensor array. Take surface samples of environment for detailed analysis. And what cracks me up is Rogue One had a little Easter egg thing where the boots of the soldiers had the little peg holder spots. And this is very reminiscent of that. I'm like, oh my God, if they're calling that a boot sensor array, that is brilliant.
That's hilarious. That is amazing. That is amazing. All right. We do have one final news story I want to cover. Bruce, should we go on a cruise? You want to go on a cruise?
I do.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Can you imagine if we did a... Oh, wait. I just had this... What if we did a... I just had the biggest idea ever.
Do it!
I should never speak these things out loud when they come into my head, but I'm going to.
No, you should. You should, please.
All right. Here's the run.
No, don't wear a Speedo. If that's your idea, I don't want to hear about that.
Well, I might at the Disney Day... Star Wars Day at Sea. Actually, that was a remarkably good transition, Bruce.
I hope that's a Star Wars Night at Sea, because I don't want to see it.
Yeah. No... So they're doing a Star Wars Day at Sea, a Caribbean cruise where they're going to be transporting fans to a galaxy far, far away. All kinds of cool Star Wars stuff. All right. Forget about that. I just had an idea. All right. Listen up. What if, like, this summer, like 6 months from now, I'm emphatically waving around the show notes to make my point. We did a Star Wars report family and friends Disney cruise.
Well, 6 months might be too short a time. Maybe a year from a year and 6 months, maybe.
I'm saying next week. Next week this happens. All right. No. Because I've heard of another podcast. There's another podcast, not anything to do with Star Wars, that did this. And it was literally just them, their network friends, and listeners of the show, and just a bunch of cool people. And like they all made the agreement, did this big day at sea, and then they even incorporated some of their own like programming and movie nights and like workshops and a few other things. Like, what if we did our own day? All right, here's the thing. If you like Disney cruises or you've been on one, let us know what you thought of it. And also, what if we organized like a specific amazing cruise that we went on? That would
Are
be
you
amazing.
Saying that we would go on a Star Wars Day cruise or kind of make our own?
Go on a Star Wars. Yes, to both.
Let me just point out something here. So these cruises take place between January and April and don't start up again until next year in January. So it can't be this summer. It would have to be in the next few months. Or, as Mark suggests, wait a year from now, plan ahead, and do it then.
Okay. Well, if the time frame is too short to do it this in the next few months, but we'll think about it for next year, or maybe even just a regular Disney cruise or something this summer. And
the
also,
next celebration, we could roll off the
boat.
I'll
just throw this out there, especially, you know, I'm talking to you, Patreon supporters especially, but anyone, if you listen to the show regularly and you like the idea of just going and hanging out with us and doing a big, just going on a Disney cruise, I'm sold on all things Disney now. Right? Like, there's no turning back. So, like, I love the idea anyway. Our good friend of the show, Amy Ratcliffe, just got done doing a Disney cruise, and I talked to her about it. She loved it. I'm all for it. So maybe we'll see my school schedule and my Air Force duty assignments and all that boring. Man, there's been a lot of like just actual real planning on this show. Just like when this stuff just comes up, that's going to be half.
When they first showed this, I remember thinking, oh my God, that's just worth it for the Millennium Falcon aspect alone, because they've got this place that you could go into that it's all set up like the cockpit. And I was thinking, I'm like, how many people are really going to be going on this cruise that are really just like the hardcore Star Wars fans? You know, typically most people are going on a cruise to go on a cruise, but I mean, this could be drawing them in the grove. So like, you could have this hit or miss. You could show up and have the whole place to yourself, or you could show up and be like, oh man, I'm never going to get a chance to sit behind that wheel.
They're going to be screening Star Wars movies, episodes of Disney's of Rebels, exclusive merchandise, We all know how I feel about that. Star Wars themed games and the activities, and Jedi Training Academy. Ooh, meet Star Wars characters. It's cool.
And stellar food and beverage offerings, including pink lemonade.
Dude, no, those menus. I saw Brian Young share a picture of those menus. They look. I wanted one for my house. I'm like, that looks so awesome.
Mm.
Cool. Yes. I'm all about the food and the drink. I could care less about anything else.
Yeah. Well, and because it would be so much more intimate than like the massive Star Wars Celebration, as awesome as that's going to be, like Star Wars Celebration is literally just running, going to the panel, talking to friends, running, going to the panel, talking to friends, hanging out with friends, running to the next group of friends. Then you forgot to hang out with the other group of friends. It's like it's a stressful thing now.
This will just be like hanging out of the pool and playing shuffleboard and that kind of stuff. Oh, just hanging out.
Good Lord, which reminds me, how could I forget? Because I just did. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to go hang out with us at Star Wars Celebration. To which you might be saying, wait, what?
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 Yeah, well, go by the pool and play shuffleboard.
Exactly. Exactly. Actually, that's not too far from the truth, Bruce.
It's like a cruise. It's just we're not moving.
Imagine a world, if you will. Let me paint a picture to all my celebration peeps. That's what we're calling you officially.
Some brush on.
Paint a picture where you are Thursday night. You've completed the first day at Star Wars Celebration. You've seen the incredible opening ceremonies. The debut of the Episode 8 trailer.
Oh my God, that trailer.
And
the trailer. Have you seen the trailer?
And it was blah, blah, blah with the blah, blah, blah. It's a throwback to last week. You just can't contain your excitement. Just imagine a world where you could, in celebration with other Star Wars fans, including us at the Star Wars Report.
I can see it now.
Support an amazing charity in honor of the late and great Carrie Fisher, our princess. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you should attend Drowning in Moonlight, the special charity gala featuring live music, a live podcast, a rotating podcast that'll probably include some of the talent on the show here. I know we're still talking about it, but there's all kinds of amazing people, such as Fangirls Going Rogue being involved, Skywalking Through Neverland, the Tosche Station people, Man of the Ginger on Twitter from Tosche Station is helping organize it. And just imagine, what if it were, I don't know, poolside at the Rosin Plaza? Huh? The Rosin Center Hotel, right next to the convention center. It's a great gala. It's like $45. All proceeds go to charity. And there's going to be amazing food, drink, dancing, music, entertainment.
That sounds
mingling.
Like a splash.
It's a royal splash, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, it is. And not only is it $40, but if there's two of you, if you're coming as a couple, you get a discount. It's actually $75. So you save $5 if you get two tickets together.
Well, Bruce, what if I wanted to purchase a ticket to this incredible event supporting the charity and meet and hang out with all the Star Wars Report and all these other amazing podcasters and fans? How would I do it?
Well, you can go online, because I found it on Eventbrite. And I just searched for Drowning in Moonlight, and there it was.
Boom. Right? Drowning in Moonlight on Eventbrite. Check it out. We will be there fully supporting the event. Make sure if you're at Star Wars Celebration, you've got to go. This is the event. There are other parties, right? There's like, you can show up at a place where there are other Star Wars fans, sure. But man, it's going to be, it's going to be loud. You won't even be able to hear yourself think. The food's going to be super expensive. There will be, as we say, no chill, zero chill. This event, worth it. Awesome, chillaxing, just high, what's the word? Dapper. It's a dapper environment. Cosplay encouraged. Dress up in your Sunday best, and come and hang out. Yeah, what's a better way to?
Why not?
I just love.
Why not hang out by the pool in your Sunday best?
You just like. I just saw the shimmy of Bruce's shoulders. Bruce just did the shoulder shimmy. He's like, why not? Drowning in Moonlight. Search for it on Eventbrite. You'll find it there. We'll be out there in force.
So we are definitely going to be there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
We are definitely going to be there. You're not going to forget about it, right?
No. Pfft, that's what you're here for.
That's right. Riley, it's time to go.
It's like, yeah.
Pull out the taser. Go.
No. I couldn't possibly forget it. I really wish, I don't know. I'm a little sad. I'm not going to lie that I didn't have all the details in front of me, because there's some really, there are more things like door prizes and stuff like that I'm forgetting, but we'll mention them in the future weeks. We'll continue to promote it. And hopefully I'll bring Amanda on. Tyler Westhouse of the Star Wars Podcast Alliance is also helping organize the podcasty portion of it. So we need to get him on and get some other people involved on it to have them on the show and actually talk about it in a little more detail. But that's do it now. It is a limited venue, and those tickets, not unlike they'll go faster than the characters at the end of Rogue One. Woo! Am I right?
Am I right? Oh, that's my heart's aching. The force of others is with me. Oh,
that's so terrible.
That was good.
All right.
It was a lot to me.
It's time for Boba's Bounty.
As you wish.
Ladies and gentlemen, each and every week we talk about something that we did, experienced, watched, heard, listened to, smelled, kicked, or punched. I hope we never done that. We haven't talked about that at all. I don't know. Has anyone punched a Wookiee or something? I don't know. Certainly hugged. Last week it was hugged. That's what we do. It's Boba's Bounty. Let's kick things off. Is it Hurlman or is it Gibson? Punch it out. Who wants to go first? Fight.
Oh, it's beautiful. Okay.
Mark goes first, because I got to think.
He's got to think. Well, okay, mine has to do with woes. Like, not like a whoa, what was that?
But like woe is me?
Oh. So, as you know, I'm a shopaholic like my mother, especially if it's anything Star Wars related. I got to have it all. And, of course, you know, I spent all the Christmas money on a bunch of black figures, Star Wars Black Series 6-inch figures for myself that I had to eventually then... I was like, I probably shouldn't be giving myself $140 worth of Christmas gifts and no one else anything. So then I gave my daughter the gin, and then I gave my son too. And I was like, do I give him the stormtroopers, the shore troopers and stuff? And I'm like, you know, me and him, we both like the stormtroopers. So I was like, I'll give him Andor and K2. Mm-hmm. He loved K2 and all. He really, really liked the gifts. And then he came in two nights ago and he was just devastated. The K2's head snapped off at the neck. It's such a skinny little thing and has so much articulation around it at the top and the bottom. But the neck itself is so incredibly weak. And I went to go and find him a replacement one, and that is sold out at all the local stores. I'm like, praying that they have another restock. And I'm thinking probably not, but man, those things, they're glorious, bummer. But amazingly fragile in certain areas.
Yeah, no, bummer. Bruce, cheer us up.
I didn't really have a big Star Wars week. The only really thing I did was I rewatched The Force Awakens, which it's been a while. I don't think I've actually watched the whole movie since I saw Rogue One, but it really just stood out to me how different the two films are in tone. I mean, I knew it did, but to see it afterwards, it was just interesting to just kind of take that all in. And it just took me back. It was like, now the movie's nostalgic for me, you know. It was a new movie, but now it's nostalgic. It's the older movie now, it's not the new movie.
So what was it like when you saw General Leia? Because I haven't watched it since all of that, and I was thinking about that the other day, because I had watched Rogue One with my mom, and that scene definitely had a lot more emotional baggage with it for me.
It didn't really have much emotional baggage for me. I mean, when she came up on screen, I was like, oh, well, yeah, there's Carrie Fisher. And I guess my next thought was, this isn't the last time I'm going to see her, because we're going to see her in episode 8. And even though she passed away, because we're getting more movies with her, in a sense, I almost feel like she's still alive.
Yeah.
I know that sounds kind of strange, but you know, she can be dead, but she's still alive.
Yeah, no, it is. It's going to be odd, man. Episode 8 is going to be odd with that. It's going to be tough. Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't have much of a Star Wars week anyway. We only got a couple minutes left in the show, so I won't take up too much time, because I do want to touch on the Woody Harrelson thing after the credits. But I will say this. Here's what I've been up to this week. That is, I set up, and I didn't set it up this week, but I set it up last week, and I've been enjoying it all week, is this old high school laptop that is broken down. Like, the hinges don't work on it. The Wi-Fi card is out. So to get on the internet, you literally have to plug in an Ethernet cable. That's the laptop I'm talking about. But you know what it's good for?
Doorstop? Looping?
Watching Star Wars movies. That's right. Oh. I have all six Star Wars saga films. Oh, wait, there's seven. I made that mistake. I tweeted it out because I still think I haven't broken out of the... I haven't really thought of The Force Awakens as a saga film. So
you're like, it's not a saga film because there's three of them I can add in a trilogy.
Exactly. Brian Young rightfully corrected me on Twitter. He's like, Riley, come on. Which I, to be fair, I deserved because it is, there are seven saga films. I know. But that's okay. That's okay. So it's been so much fun just because it just adds environment. I love it. I love having just knowing that whenever I walk into the studio here, there's a Star Wars on. You heard about, you like the Star Wars. It's basically everything, and it's awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to put the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Stay tuned right after the credits if you want to hear a little peek at Woody Harrelson's role in the Han Solo movie. But in the meantime, let me say farewell to you. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. Big, big, big thank you, by the way, right up front that I want to definitely do is a big thank you to everyone directly supporting this program on Patreon. We got a brand new patron this week. It was so exciting. I always love getting a new patron because I get to do that email and say, ooh, here's all the bonus content, and we get to link everybody up in our ongoing Patreon chat Facebook group that we are talking in. And also, most importantly, we've got a hangout coming up for the patrons.
Yeah!
So, Bruce, tell us if you want to join us, if you are interested in supporting the program and joining us for a Skype call, how do you do it?
Well, if you become a patron of Patreon and you give $15 for the month, you get to be included into our group discussion. And it's Sunday, January 29th,
yes,
at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
He had no idea I was about to make him do that off the top of his head. So big congratulations, Bruce. Nicely done, sir. Yeah, no, join us. And to everyone who's already pledged, big thank you. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be our big Rogue One discussion amongst the patrons. We haven't had a chance to do it. So join in, support the show, and have a chat with us. It's a great time to do it. We really do appreciate everyone who supported us. Make sure you follow us on social media. It's at Star Wars Report. Of course, facebook.com/StarWarsReport. Make sure you enable. That's right. Become an enabler. Enable those Facebook Live video notifications to make sure you know when we go live each and every Friday evening for the live broadcast on Facebook. It's pretty easy to keep in touch with us. Email StarWarsReport@gmail.com. We didn't have time to get to. We've got a couple emails. But get those coming in. Tips and tricks. Your tips and tricks or questions about Star Wars Celebration. It's going to be a great time that we're going to have in a series of upcoming episodes giving and sharing ideas. And, it's going to be so much fun. Besides emailing us, StarWarsReport@gmail.com, you can go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. That takes you to the iTunes store where you can leave us a rating and review. That really helps get out the word if you're not able to support us through Patreon or anything else. That's a great way to do it. Big thank you, of course, to our sponsors as well, Geek Fuel and Entertain Art. Again, make sure you check out GeekFuel.com/StarWarsReport for your free bonus Star Wars item. And StarWarsReport.com/art and use that discount code SWR20 for 20% off.
Do it.
All right, that's going to wrap up this particular episode. I feel like, is there something I'm forgetting? The Thursday show, it's coming up. Steven Stanton is going to be on this Thursday. Woo! What a crazy time. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the incredible remix of Farm Boy by High Adventure. Big, big shout out and thank you to those guys. That's just such an incredible and really fun piece of music. I just love the fact that I literally just sent in the request to see if I could get a copy without vocals to cut up for the show and put it in the background. And they just did it. They just literally remixed it from scratch. They're incredible.
Nice.
All right, folks, until next time. This has been the Star Wars podcast. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. Gentlemen, let's get ready to talk about Woody Harrelson, which means an unprecedented move. I'm just going to have to leave you wanting. We're not going to have time for the awesome, whatchamacallit, the Jabba flow, because Woody Harrelson says he's playing a criminal overlord. In fact, at least that's what I'm calling him. He described his role in the Star Wars universe as a criminal and mentor, and that he's delighted to be joining the, quote, amazing world. All you want to do is make good movies, because eventually I'll be gone and those will still be there. You know what I mean? We do know what you mean, Woody. And
where's he going?
So you're thinking overlord, huh?
Criminal overlord.
See, I was thinking more of a Cad Bane to the Boba Fett kind of mentor kind of thing.
Yeah, I could see that. I want Woody Harrelson. I really want the darkest version of Han Solo to be influenced by who Woody Harrelson is. I want him to break free. He's the mentor who teaches him everything he needs to know about smuggling in the criminal world, but he has to break away from him to grow and have a heart, right? That's what I want.
He could be George Cardass or a Talon Card style character.
Yeah, I can see that.
There's so many ways they could roll with this.
Gentlemen, that's interesting. Thanks to Microsoft, our good friends over at Microsoft, my computer is 2.5 minutes from restarting, which means everything we just recorded has to be saved in the next 2 minutes.
Get on it!
So, gentlemen, I'm going to say farewell and
save
hang up
me,
right
save
now.
Me.
Thanks for talking.
Save the Star Wars report! Save the dream!
Save the Audacity file!
Quickly!
All right.
Save it. Give me fire when ready.
All right. They're gone. Everybody on the Facebook live feed, thanks so much for tuning in. We'll catch you next time. Farewell.